Got my bottle of water. I didn't need it this morning. I am on the back end of a cold. And the back end's always the good end to be on, I guess. But that's when the coughing starts. And now I have a theory. On the back end, you're not contagious. So if I've shook your hand tonight. But then I have another theory. I probably got this cold from shaking somebody's hand here. So, you know, that we share and share alike. But hopefully that coughing will not affect me tonight. But thank you for being here. And thank you for taking time this evening. As we've been doing over the last several weeks, we're going to continue our study through God's Word. We're into the second month now, the last part of the second month, as you go through the daily reading. And as you go through, I'm sure maybe you anticipate some of the things that might be discussed on Sunday evening. And as you look, there's so many different things that could be talked about, so many different areas that would be very beneficial for us to look at. And so many different things that we could gain so much from. And I hope I pick something tonight that will be beneficial to our time spent here this evening. I want to read a quote as we start this evening. It says, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for forgiveness." You know, the words that I've just read were not spoken by a teacher or a preacher. They were not even spoken in the 21st century, although it sounds as if they are a commentary of where we are today. In fact, these words were spoken by our 16th president almost 150 years ago, Abraham Lincoln. And it was Lincoln's view then of how this world had become. Here 150 years back. Wonder what he would think today. Wonder what he would think today if he was to make the same type of assessment of where we have gone as a nation, where we have come to as a country. Wonder what he would think. I firmly believe that we failed to see just how blessed we are in America. And I think each and every one could utter that same statement tonight. I want to share with you some interesting facts. Did you know that 1.3 billion people live on less than $1 a day? Did you know that if your income is at the official U.S. poverty level, that you're among the top 10% of the wage earners in the world? Did you know that America has the highest percentage of educated people in the world? And did you know that we have the lowest unemployment level, even today, still yet, in the world? And did you know that our democratic system of government has become the envy and the model for many, many countries around the world? Are we blessed as a nation? You bet. You bet we are. Is that a good thing? We enjoy it, don't we? We enjoy those blessings, but where has that taken our country? We've come a long way from immigrants with nothing but the clothes on their backs. We've carved out of the wilderness this great nation that we call our own. We should be applauded. However, this is the problem. Because America has done exactly what is described in the verses that we're looking at from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go ahead and turn back over there if you would, please. Deuteronomy the 8th chapter. We looked at verses 10 through 14. And I'd like to continue there at verse 15 and read on down through verse 20. Verse 15 says, He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. We've been blessed as a nation. We have come a long way. We have a lot that we can call our own. We have so many things that others only dream of. So many things that others long for each and every day that they live. But I want to bring that home just a little bit. Bring that one step closer. We've been blessed as a congregation, haven't we? We've come a long way from those days when the two congregations, Broadway and Madison, and Scenic and Weaver, joined together at this very spot. What was it, 1986, when this building was erected, the two congregations coming together to form the Sunset Church of Christ? We've planted two congregations since then, of course, both Union Hill and Brookline. We've helped with mission efforts extending from our back door to thousands of miles away. We're embarking on a Hispanic ministry. Mitre has great plans for that. He shared some of those with us last Sunday morning. Exciting things that are going to be happening in the next weeks and months. We've reached out into our community and shared Jesus with our neighbors. We've taken care of our own people during times of sickness and even been there to comfort them during times of loss. We've watched our kids grow into mature Christian adults and begin families of their own. We've watched this congregation grow over the years, and we've needed additional space, resulting in three major additions to this building. We've enjoyed meeting our budget year after year and thus been able to pay down our debt in a very timely manner. We've been blessed with men of great vision that have led our group in such a way that we've prospered and made an impact in the Southwest Missouri area. Just this very year, we've been fortunate enough to add 6 new brothers and sisters to our body, and 8 new families to our number here at Sunset. We truly are blessed as a congregation. And I was thinking about a topic from this week's reading. I thought of several different things that would be timely. But then on February 17th, I came across a section entitled Beware of Pride. Think about that for a moment. Does that speak to me? You bet it does. Beware of pride. Beware lest you fall. You know, I went back then, probably 6 weeks, well, not that far, about 3 weeks back in our reading, and I noticed some of the titles leading up to this very section that you read on February the 17th. Notice some of these sections, and you'll probably remember them as I go through them. Bitter water made sweet. Meat and bread promised. Defeat of Amalekites. Amalek to be destroyed. Promises and blessings. Priests to be anointed. Tabernacle erected. Leaders bring offerings. People to be numbered. Silver trumpets ordered. Victory over King Herod. Sihon and Amorites defeated. The victory ballad. Og and Bashanites defeated. Balak fears Israel. Israel to defeat nations. Victory and total conquest. Dividing the spoils. Division of the land. Total conquest ordered. Amalekites to be destroyed. Defeat of Amorites. Defeat of Bashanites. Honor as a chosen nation. And then you come down to this little section that says, beware of pride. What a fitting thing. What a fitting thing to be reminded of. Beware of what can happen. We know the story of Israel. We know how the ups and the downs, the twists and the turns. And I could have picked some other headings that weren't as complimentary or didn't talk about how Israel was being blessed. But through all of this, God had blessed Israel, had led them out, had led them into a land that He had promised them. And then He gives them this warning. Beware. Watch out how you look at this. In this chapter, we find that Moses is warning the Israelites that when they go into the land of milk and honey, not to forget God. And I'm convinced that we as a nation, and even sometimes as 21st century Christians, have done just what verse 17 describes. We read it just a moment ago. But you say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. This evening, as we sit here, as we think about what we have, what God has accomplished through us, how does it make us feel? And I don't bring this lesson to be a downer, to say, well, you know, we want to feel good, and we do. We want to feel good about how we've been blessed. But where do we go? Where is the root of these blessings? I think you see where we're going with this. Our country. We're not a country full of atheists or God haters, per se, even though maybe we have more than our fair share. It's just that people have come to the place where they now think they do not need God. We don't need God in our lives. We've got everything else. We don't think about God. God has been left out. God has been destroyed in many different aspects of our country. Some of you may have watched Jimmy Stewart as he played Charlie Anderson in the movie Shenandoah. And he prayed this prayer. Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested. We cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel, but we thank you just the same anyway, Lord, for this food that we're about to eat. Amen. You may think, what an absurd way to pray. But do we do that in the way we live our lives? Do we sometimes do that in the way we think? I do this as a reminder for Dwight more than anything. What are our thoughts this evening? While few have the audacity to say it outright, I fear that many people see themselves as self-made men and women. And this attitude was certainly a temptation for the Israelites, so God issued them this warning through Moses. But even today, many would ask, why is it so wrong with believing that we're self-made men and women? This evening, I want to look at three things. Why this should not be the sentiment and mentality of any person. And why this type of arrogance is destroying America. In short, I want to challenge us here this evening to follow what is said to us there in verse 11. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Number one, what's wrong with believing we're self-made men and women? It's untrue. Basically, that's all we can say about it. In looking at the problem that exists in believing that we are self-made, I want to quickly point out that there is simply no truth there. No matter how much we work, what we have done, what we achieve, whatever level of success we enjoy or will enjoy in life, we're always dependent upon circumstances of which we're powerless to bring about or to avoid. Benjamin Franklin once wrote, "Do not depend too much upon your own industry and frugality and prudence, though excellent things they are, for they may all be for naught without the blessing of heaven." You know, we have to bring an important word into our thinking this evening. It's the word providence. Simply put, this deals with the universal and sovereign rule of God. Everything is orchestrated by God and for God. And those fortunate circumstances of life are not luck, but part of God's plan for us and the world in which we live. And I think we realize that. We sometimes just fail to remember that. We cannot succeed unless the Lord wants us to succeed. Listen to the words in Proverbs 19 and verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. We must have it enter into our thinking and into our living that God controls and orchestrates what takes place in our lives and in churches and in countries. He's in control of it all. Nothing takes Him by surprise. Nothing occurs without His knowledge. Nothing will happen without Him allowing it to happen. The providence of God. God being in control. God knowing every movement, every breath, every hair on our body. To say that we're self-made is just not so. The psalmist said in Psalm 100 and verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." It's not by our work or our effort or our intellect that we've achieved some great and lofty goal in life. It's because God has been good to us. God has blessed us. It's a gift from God. We have the ability and the opportunities to do what we do because we've been blessed by God. God has allowed those things to happen and work in our lives and work through our lives. Notice there in our reading once more, verse 18, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today." Number two, what's wrong with believing that we're self-made men and women? It's simply ungrateful. It's untruthful. We know there's no truth in it. We may fool ourselves in thinking that there is. And number two, it's ungrateful. Without the Lord's mercy and grace, we would have been destroyed long ago. Whether we're speaking of our nation or our family or our very lives, we must remember that it's the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 23. Oh, how thankful and how grateful we should be for the mercies and grace and the gift that God has freely given to us. And yet we seldom stop to give God the thanks and the glory for which He richly deserves. A true Christian is a man or a woman who never for a moment forgets what God has done for him in Christ and whose whole activity has the root in the attitude of gratitude. You know that. I'm not telling you, this is nothing new, nothing that you haven't heard before. It's a friendly reminder. As Moses was reminding the folks here who were about to enter that land of milk and honey. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget who got you here. I fear that we've become a nation of unthankful people. I think we could all probably say we've seen that throughout our life. We're now convinced that we have increased in goods and are in need of nothing. I think we're reminded from time to time that God is in control. What a wonderful thing. And strange, isn't it, how times of adversity and even poverty cause us to seek out the one who should have been there or we should have been following all along. So it's ungrateful. And then also, number three, what's wrong with believing that we're self-made men and women? It's exactly the opposite of what God wants. To put it simply, if people take the credit, God's purpose for their lives is being ignored. God does not want us to be confused about the plans that He has for us. And once again, make no mistake, He does have a purpose and a plan for your life. Even if you can't see or don't understand, there's a plan for you, for each and every one. Sometimes we have trouble figuring it out. Sometimes we maybe spend all of our time just spinning our wheels. What are we doing? Why are we here? What is our purpose? You've probably had that conversation with someone, maybe not too long ago. While most of the world is too busy paying attention to themselves, God has clearly explained what that plan is. He wants us to trust Him and acknowledge Him. In fact, Solomon wrote, "Trust the Lord in all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. As I mentioned a moment ago, Lincoln stated, we've been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has grown. But we have forgotten God. We've grown prideful. We've grown arrogant and forgotten not only the Lord, but also the fact that we're to be clothed with His humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. 1 Peter chapter 5. I mentioned Benjamin Franklin a minute ago, quoting from him. When he was a young man living in New England, he went one day and visited a preacher by the name of Cotton Mather. And Mather offered this advice to Franklin as he approached a low-hanging beam in his home. He said, "You're young and have the world before you. Stoop as you go through, and you'll miss many of the hard bumps." That's true. Oh, how we as Americans need to stoop to our knees and humble ourselves before God, confessing our national sins and praying for forgiveness. But where does that start? Starts right here, doesn't it? Starts with me. Starts with each and every one of us here. Because I know, and I've heard it said before, well, you know, I can't really do anything about this nation. I can't really make any changes. I can't really do anything about the fact that our nation isn't following God as it should. You know, we talked this morning about a faith that is seen. We looked at those four men who dropped that man down into that room. The faith being seen that they believed God would do what He had told them He would do. Jesus would do what He had said He would do. He would heal that man. It's a sad but true reality that nations that think they can get on alone are eventually left on their own. The nation of Israel was a prime example of this. And so often we'll just look and say, well, they should have seen that coming. They. But I want to close this evening by looking at verses 19 and 20 once again. A very sobering thought. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today, and you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. I want to preface tonight by saying, I am proud of this congregation. I'm proud of the things that we're doing today and that we've done in years past. I'm proud of our leaders. I'm proud of our servants. And I think God has blessed this group in so many ways. And I pray that He'll continue to do that. I pray He'll continue to bless us. I want to tell you tonight, I'm proud of this nation. I'm proud of the things that have come from this nation. We've all been watching the Olympics. As we see that flag raised, doesn't that just bring a bit of pride to your soul? Doesn't that just bring some awe, thinking, wow, what a country I live in? And we do. Nothing wrong with being proud. Nothing wrong with taking pride. What's wrong is forgetting where it came from. And I think that's what we always need to be guarding against each and every day of our lives. Perhaps there are some in this room this evening that have done the same thing in their lives that America has done as a nation. We've forgotten the place that God is to have in our hearts and in our home. We've forgotten that God needs to come first in everything. That priority list that sometimes gets so out of whack. We know that. We understand that. This was just a friendly reminder, as I believe Moses was reminding those as they were about to enter in, those as they were about to be blessed even more than they had. Say, hey, remember where this came from. We're blessed in so many ways. Thank God for that. We need to remember each and every day. Tonight, the invitation is yours. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. If we can pray for you in any way, we want to do that. If we can pray for you, maybe it's just to have a more grateful heart
What a wonderful prayer. I think that's a prayer that we could all utter from where we stand tonight. If you'd like the prayers of this church, we would love to do that for you tonight. Or maybe tonight you're ready to take that step, put on Christ through baptism. There's probably some here in this audience, an audience this size, that has not done that very thing. Knowing that that's the step they need to make. You don't have a better opportunity than tonight. You have tonight. We don't have tomorrow. The invitation is yours. If you need to respond, won't you come as we stand and sing?